On Tuesday, Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro announced the release of a scathing 880-page report detailing decades of child sex abuse at the hands of the Catholic Church in six of the state's eight dioceses.
The largest, most comprehensive report into child sexual abuse within the Catholic Church ever produced in the United States was released.
In painful detail, the report includes the accounts of more than 1,000 child victims.
For the first time, we can begin to understand the systematic cover-up by church leaders that followed.
Several of the survivors who testified spoke to CBS News leading up to the report's release.
It's a voice for the voiceless.
The word abuse gets thrown around. We're talking rapes.
My abuser, when he took his collar off, he told me that he could do whatever he wanted to do.
I would say to him, "Why did you do this to me?" And I believe his answer is going to be, "Because I can, because I could."
This report is me getting my life back, saying, these are the evil bastards that stole my life.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. Today, a look inside this report and how the Catholic Church shielded hundreds of predator priests at the expense of children and families. In just a minute, we'll hear from Lawrence Thomas Persico, the bishop of the Diocese of Erie, Pennsylvania, which is one of the six dioceses investigated and found culpable of abuse. But first, we turn to Kevin McCory, reporter and editor at WHYY in Philadelphia and for Keystone Crossroads, a collaboration of public media across the state. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So why is this report coming out now, and who was behind the report?
Well, Attorney General Josh Shapiro got things moving a couple years ago when he decided to convene a grand jury to investigate what we had already known had happened in Philadelphia and another diocese in Pennsylvania, the Altoona-Johnstown Diocese. And this was basically a decision by the Attorney General's office to say we have to investigate the entire state.
We've heard from some of the victims earlier in the piece who spoke to CBS News, but I'm wondering if you could walk us through what we know from the report about the specifics of the sexual abuse that was going on in this in these six dioceses.
Well, the story is not new, right? The pattern here we have seen in Boston, we've seen in Philadelphia, we've seen in many other places, but the specifics are always gruesome and horrid. You have an example of a priest in the Diocese of Harrisburg who allegedly abused five sisters in a single family. Other stories where priests are impregnating people, forcing them to get abortions. Others where you have priests forcing boys to strip naked, take photos of them, distribute those photos on church grounds, you know, as child pornography. Others where you have priests having seven-year-old boys fillet them. It's horrid, horrid stuff here.
Kevin, what are the, we've heard a lot about the statute of limitations and many of these priests being dead, so it's hard to bring charges at this point. But do victims have any recourse whatsoever?
Most of them, no. In Pennsylvania, the laws were amended, but still the scope of this report, it takes place over the course of many decades. And most of the victims in it, the bulk of them, the real majority of them, have no legal, criminal, or civil recourse at this point. So, you know, some of the recommendations that the grand jury made was, A, moving forward, let's just eliminate the statute of limitations on child sexual abuse and make it akin to murder, where there's just no statute of limitations.
How likely is that to happen, though?
So that one is probably more likely to happen because it would pertain to future victims, right? The harder thing would be to say, and this is also what the grand jury recommended in this report, is to say, if you want to file a civil case retroactively, we're going to give you a 2-year window. No matter when your abuse happened, you can essentially sue the church and seek financial damages. You know, the church has long fought that. They say it would bankrupt them currently for sins of the past. Victims say, you know, that's what they need to feel like they have their day in court truly and can find justice.
Well, we'll be hearing from a bishop from the church shortly. Kevin McCory is an editor for Keystone Crossroads, a collaboration between WHYY in Philadelphia and other public media across the state. Kevin, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
My name is Gail. I'm from Los Angeles, California.
I'm Joe Alvarez. I'm calling from Shirley, Massachusetts.
This is Tom from Duncanville, Texas.
Dennis Finch. I'm calling from Bristol, Rhode Island.
My view of the Roman Catholic Church has not changed.
I was born into a Catholic family, went to Catholic grammar school, high school, and Catholic college. I am no longer in the Catholic faith.
I removed my family from the Roman Catholic Church when my son was born about 26 years ago.
I was very disgusted by the fact that the Catholics were having so much children abuse and covering it up.
I did not want to raise children in an old boys network type of church.
I consider it to be my faith, and I haven't left just because of a few bad actors, I guess, as well as the bad leaders who made terrible decisions along the way.
Priests are fallible, but the church's teachings are not.
I think that the requirement for priestly celibacy traps men in a lifestyle that's far different from that which most people live. And most of all, it serves to affirm the church's age-old male hierarchy, which is part of the problem.
And now we turn to the Catholic Church. Bishop Lawrence Persico is head of the Diocese of Erie, one of the six parishes investigated in this report. And he was the only bishop who agreed to testify during the extensive investigation. Bishop Persico, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So your reaction to this report, what was it?
It was very sobering, disgusting, and shameful.
Bishop, the Catholic Church is certainly not the only place where abuse, child abuse, does happen, but it has happened within the church systemically and repeatedly for decades, and this has affected thousands of children. Why does this keep happening, Bishop? Is it an indication that it's time to allow changes to the priesthood? Things like allowing women to become priests, allowing priests to marry, perhaps rethinking the celibacy rules around the priesthood.
Well, I don't know if that's going to curb child abuse, because I think, as indicated with our list, we have men and women who are credibly accused of child abuse. And some of them were married. So I think it's a societal issue. The important thing is that we become transparent about these things and not try to cover them up. Not only is this an issue in the Catholic Church, as apparent from the grand jury report, but it's a problem in schools, universities. It's a problem in the medical profession, as we recently learned, among coaches. So I think it's a societal issue, and I don't know if changes in the priesthood is going to make that kind of difference. I think, and you had mentioned celibacy, I don't think this has anything to do with celibacy, especially when you have married people who commit abuse. It happens in families. So I see this more as a societal issue that needs to be addressed.
I agree that it's a societal issue, Bishop, to a certain extent. However, this is happening under the auspices of God, of faith. And this is something that has been a repeated problem within the Catholic Church for as far back as I can remember. To suggest that it's purely societal, I do think is almost a lack of reflection on the Church itself.
Well, if you get to the root of it, I think part of the problem is that for so long it's been kept quiet, and it's devastating when, it's especially someone that you're supposed to trust, have confidence in, a leader of the community and a leader of the faith community. So that makes it especially horrendous.
We, on The Takeaway, have regularly reached out to our listeners and asked them for their reactions to the news. And we've gotten some callers, who said that they continue to separate the church as an entity from their personal faith because of a lot of the things that have happened. One caller said, you know, priests are fallible, the church is not. Others have left the church, and I'm going to read you some numbers here. We have the percentage of U.S. Catholics across the United States has dropped. This is numbers from Pew, 3.1% from 2007 to 2014. The U.S. Catholic Church attendance numbers have also gone down significantly, from 75% in 1955 to only 39% of U.S. Catholics actually attending church. So there is something happening here, Bishop. What's your reaction to those numbers?
Well, I really think that this is, you know, part of the reaction against the institution, because we have let people down. And so people are angry and they're walking away. And I can understand that it makes it very difficult to have faith when people who are there, who are supposed to lead you and be examples, have betrayed you.
What are some, you mentioned a couple of things that your parish is doing. Can you give us a little more detail on that?
Well, we've done three things. One, we put out a list of credibly accused abusers, and we've enhanced our policy for the protection of children so that it's more in line with civil law. Third, we automatically turn things over to the civil authorities instead of trying to investigate them on our own. We also have independent investigators who assist us, and we've enhanced our office for the protection of children. And what the office does, as you know, some people may get clearances and background checks, past background checks, but we keep a list of names that we would not allow to work in our diocese, even though they could receive background checks and clearances, because of, you know, they broke our policy or some other reason. But before anyone is hired, whether it's in a school, an agency, or employment at the diocese, they have to be cleared through that office first.
Bishop, what would you tell people who are hearing this news today, whether they're lapsed Catholics, practicing Catholics, or not even Catholic, who want to believe that this is something, a place that they could potentially put their faith in, and they're just seeing this become more and more difficult as more of these cases come out? I mean, we're talking about thousands of children. What do you say to those folks?
Well, the first thing would obviously be that, you know, I'm sorry that this has happened, and I apologize to victims. But also, don't give up your faith in God. These are people, human beings, who are sinners like all of us. And we should not walk away from God in this and totally give up one's faith.
Bishop Lawrence Persico is head of the Diocese of Erie. Thank you so much for being with us, Bishop.
You're welcome.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.